Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds with Bible Truth for Living. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll be in Acts chapter 9 in just a moment. I want to make a couple of announcements. First of all, today is Stand for Israel Sunday at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple and Waltonville Community Church. This past week, Israel celebrated its 76th year of modern existence. And, they're under fire from all sides, it seems like, today, including a lot of our college campuses and cities here in America. And, God stands with Israel, and if God's for them, we should be for them. Doesn't mean they are a perfect nation, and certainly there are many in Israel who do not even believe in God. And yet, we need to stand with that nation because God says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That's the Abrahamic covenant. And so I'll be preaching on that this morning at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple at 10 o'clock and Waltonville Community Church at 11:15 a.m. The title of the message this morning at church will be What's to Become of Israel? What's going to happen out of all of this? What does the Bible say the future holds for the nation of Israel? And then tonight at 6 p.m., Pastor Rodney Malott, my good friend who has been to Israel several times, is going to share some current events and issues that are going on in Israel today. Rodney keeps up on a lot of this stuff, and I'm looking forward to hearing what the Lord lays on his heart to share with us tonight. So this whole day today at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple and Waltonville Community Church is going to be dedicated to the nation of Israel. Then I also want to continue reminding you of the community prayer walk in the park that we have coming up on Saturday, June 22nd. We're going to meet at 10 o'clock at the Mount Vernon City Park North Shelter. We're going to give prayer lists to everyone that will include prayers for our city, our county, our state, our country, and for our churches. We're asking folks to come and pray. Individuals and groups are welcomed. If you want to bring a Sunday school class or your family or a couple, whatever, just come and meet up with us at 10 o'clock. We'll have free hot dogs, chips, and bottled water available for everyone after the walk. But we just invite you to walk the perimeter of the city park. By the way, Mount Vernon has really done a nice job improving the city park. Be a good opportunity to check that out as well. But bring your little ones, if you have a stroller, folks in wheelchairs, welcome to come and go around and pray for our city. I kind of think of it as a way to get physical exercise and spiritual exercise. And so that'll be coming up on Saturday, June the 22nd. 10 o'clock is when we will begin the community prayer walk in the city park here in Mount Vernon. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 is where we are this morning. The title of the message is A Woman of Influence. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36. The Bible says, Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. The dictionary defines the word influence as the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something else. In modern use, the word influence is the power to change or affect someone or something. Now, when you think about it, there are many sources of influence in our lives. Hollywood is an influence. Television is an influence. The internet is an influence. Social media is an influence. The media is an influence. The people you hang around are an influence. Friends, coworkers, your family, your spouse, your parents, your children. Many people are influences in our lives. But, you know, I believe, especially growing up, that no one has a more powerful influence on us than a mother. Evangelist Billy Graham said, like mother, like children. Poet William Ross Wallace said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, in this text in Acts chapter 9 today, we have a woman. We don't know if she was a mother. The Bible doesn't tell us. We do not know if she was a wife. The Bible doesn't give us that information either. What we do know is that she had influence. Now, by the way, you don't have to be a mother or a wife to have influence. There's a lot of ways you can be an influence as a friend or coworker, neighbor. Some believe this woman was wealthy, and that's a possibility. Others say she lived in poverty. We just don't know. You don't have to be wealthy to have influence. You don't have to be in poverty to have influence, all right? Those things are really inconsequential, but the Bible doesn't give us that information. But it does tell us some things about this woman. And before I get into the actual spiritual part of this, I want to look at a couple of things regarding her. First of all, her hometown. The Bible tells us in verse 36, now there was at Joppa. What do we know about Joppa? Joppa was a port city with a couple of important significances in the Bible. First of all, Joppa was the port where materials for the first and second Jewish temples were received and taken to Jerusalem. All right, so it was located in the northern part of Israel, and the materials were brought in there and then taken to Jerusalem. Also, Joppa is known as the port where the prophet Jonah fled to, and he caught a ship to Tarshish on his way to being swallowed by a whale. And so the Bible says he went down to Joppa and boarded a ship for Tarshish. Now, this place called Joppa is today a part of Israel's modern city of Tel Aviv. So it's part of a greater city today. That's her hometown. And then we see something about her name. The Bible tells us her name was Tabitha, but being interpreted was Dorcas. Why two names? Well, Tabitha was her Aramaic name. And we find that mentioned here, and then Peter will use that name as well toward the end of this narrative. And then you have the name Dorcas. Dorcas was her Greek name, all right? So she just had one name. It was just in Aramaic, Tabitha, and in Greek, Dorcas. Dorcas was more, because it was Greek, it was a language of the common people. Her name means gazelle, or gracious like a gazelle. A gazelle is a deer-like animal in the Middle East. But her hometown and her name is not what necessarily gave this woman influence. What did give her influence is something that I think we can learn from and can be an influence. We can be an influence like her today. First of all, this lady named Dorcas, she was a disciple. That was her first level of influence. The Bible says again in verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. This is the first time you find a female with that title, disciple. Now, the name disciple or title disciple means a disciplined one or a follower. Jesus had many disciples. We often think of the 12 disciples, you know, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Bartholomew, and the whole group there. They were men, of course, but the reason they were men is they were patterned after the Old Testament 12 sons of Jacob, or 12 tribes of Israel, all right? So we know them, but they were not the only disciples of Jesus. Jesus had several female disciples. We have at least 7 of them named, not including other disciples like the Samaritan woman at the well and the woman with the issue of blood. And then the Apostle Paul even mentions up to 17 female disciples in his ministry. Again, this is the first use of that word disciple with a female right here. The Bible tells us specifically that she was a disciple. Now, let me say this, that Jesus Christ and Christianity has done more to advance the place and the importance of women in society than any other person or any other movement, all right? So Christianity seeks to lift women up, to place them in a place of honor. And the first thing about this lady that we need to see is that she was a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. Now, let me ask you, who are you following? You're following someone. We get our examples from someone. Growing up, we begin to get our examples from our parents and our family and friends, those that are around us. But even as we get older, we are influenced by different things, whether that is the media or people we're around, people we work with. And we need to be wise about who we follow. And this lady was a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ. Not only was she a disciple, but she was a doer. Back to our text in verse 36, the Bible says there was a disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. That means she was a doer. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." You see, we're not to only hear the right thing to do, but we are to act upon that, to do what is right. And this woman did. She was full of good works. Church worker demographics show that 60% or more of the work accomplished in today's church is done by women. Everything from singing and playing instruments to teaching classes and cleaning the buildings. I mean, thank God for the women who are doers in our churches today. As a pastor, I sure am appreciative of the ladies we have in our churches who do so much, and thank God for them. Many times it's the women who take up a lot of the slack that needs to be done around the church. And 6 out of 10, according to that statistic, do most of the work within the local church. So Tabitha or Dorcas was a disciple. Number two, she was a doer. Number three, she was a donor. The Bible says again in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9 that she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, the word alms deeds means charity or charity work. That means she was a volunteer. She donated or gave of her time, of her talent, and of her treasure. Statistics show that women are 4 times more likely than men to donate their time to charity. 73% of charitable donors are women. 90% of single women give more to charity than single men. So I'm telling you that this woman was a disciple, a doer, and a donor, and that same thing applies today. You know, men are a lot more suspicious and cautious about giving of their time and of their talent and of their treasure than women are. I read where one man said, "If I won $1 million, I'd give a quarter of it to charity. I'm not sure what I would do with the other $999,999.75. Well, if you get that, a quarter simply means 25 cents that he was willing to part with. But this lady was a donor. And thank God again for the ladies who are such givers of their time. If you want any volunteer work done in the church or even just charity work, many times women are the ones that will accomplish that, whether it's time or talent or treasure. And then number four, and I'm moving quickly here today, number four, she was a demonstration. Now, this is where something takes a turn, and it begins in verse 37. So here you have a woman who is a disciple. Boy, she's a doer, getting a lot done. She's a donor. But something happens. Verse 37, "And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died." Now, we do not know what she was sick from. We do not know how long this was. Was this a 6-month illness, a year long, a 2-day? We have no idea. But she was sick and died. And the Bible says, "whom when they had washed." So that was part of the Jewish cleansing ceremony. All right. They wash her and they take her, the Bible says, and they take her to an upper chamber. Laid her in an upper chamber. In that area of the world, they would have an upper room, and sometimes it would even be on top of the house, like a flat area. And they take and they put her body there. All right. Now, verse 38, "And forasmuch as Lydda," now Lydda was a little town, "was nigh or near to Joppa." So remember, she's in Joppa. Here she has gotten sick and she's died. "And there's a little town named Lydda next by. And the disciples heard that Peter was there." Now, here's where the Apostle Peter enters the story. The Apostle Peter being the lead disciple, they hear that he is close, and they send unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. So they're seeking the Apostle Peter because they know Peter has the power of the Holy Spirit to do something about this situation. So they send for Peter. Verse 39, "Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber." So he arrives at the home. They take the Apostle Peter. They lead him to where the body of Dorcas is lying. And the Bible says, "And all the widows," now this is what I want you to catch, "all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." Now, what's significant here? What is significant is that this lady was a demonstration of a life well lived. When she had died, you had these widows. And by the way, widows are very special to God. We ought to honor the widows. The Bible says in Psalm 68 and verse 5, God is a father to the fatherless and a protector of the widows. Psalm 146, 9 says, the Lord relieves the fatherless and the widows. 1 Timothy 5, 3 says to honor widows. James chapter 1 and verse 27, I'll read this to you because this tells us what pure religion is. Someone says they're a religious person. Well, here's how you know. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. A widow would be a woman that her husband has died. And so widows are close to the heart of God. And this woman, Tabitha or Dorcas, apparently had made this her life's ministry to make and mend clothes for the widows. Now, that's important, and the important thing is this, that every one of us have a ministry. You know, not all ministry is preaching behind a pulpit. Not all ministry is singing a song. Ministry can be baking pies for people. Ministry can be mending clothes for people. Jesus even said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, I'll bless you for that. There are all kinds of ways we can be a blessing to people. You know, when you think of a mother, for a young mother, you know, that has young children, your ministry is those children. The greatest mission field that we have as parents is right there at home. You have a ministry to those children to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them about prayer. Lead them to Christ. Take them to church. You know, if you care for a loved one, maybe an elderly parent or a spouse that's sick, or maybe a child with special needs, that's a ministry. God has placed that in your life to be a minister. The word minister simply is a servant, all right? It's not some big fancy religious position or title. It just simply means serving others. Whatever ministry that you can think of or you can use your gifts for, you ought to do. Sewing is a ministry. Baking is a ministry. Cleaning is a ministry. Praying is a ministry. Being an encouragement to others is a ministry. Now, in particular, because we're talking here about mothers today and about women, did you know that older women have a ministry to the younger women? Yeah, that's in the Bible. The book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. That means to not only by word, but also by modeling, showing the young women to be sober, that is serious minded about especially the things of God, to love their husbands, to love their children. You see, young women need to learn that. They're going to learn it from somebody. Are you going to leave that up to the actresses in Hollywood? Are you going to leave that up to entertainers or singers? No, I think that that's important in the church for the ladies who have maybe been married for many years and they've raised their children to be a good model for the younger mothers, to help teach them these things. The Bible says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now that really just shocks the culture right there, but that's in the Bible because there has to be some type of leadership in a home. The Bible says obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So that's a ministry in and of itself. This woman demonstrated ministry. Her ministry was to these widows. And now here, as she has passed away, she's left a great legacy. And when Peter comes in, they begin showing him, look at the coat that Dorcas made for me. Look at this dress that she mended. And so they're showing him these things. Now, here's the last thing that I want to share this morning. And that is that Dorcas was a display, not only a demonstration, but she was a display. Now, I believe she displays two things. Number one, she was a display of God's power. Back to our text there in Acts chapter 9 and verse 40. The Bible says, but Peter put them all forth, means he had everybody leave the room, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said to Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. What's going on here? Well, the apostle Peter prays, and he says simply her name, Tabitha, arise. And the Bible says she opened her eyes and she sits up. Now, I have no idea what that experience would be like. You know, can you imagine seeing that happen? Someone who has been dead and here she is now, she's alive. Now, Dorcas or Tabitha was one of only two women raised from the dead in the scripture. The other was Jairus's daughter. Jesus raised her from the dead. You say, why is God still doing that today? No, this was what we call a temporary sign gift to the infant church to display God's power through his Holy Spirit. Why do we not have that today? Because you and I have the completed word of God. We have God's word, and that's what we need for today, is the power of God through his word. But Dorcas was a display of God's power as the Apostle Peter has prayed and she has come back to life. Now, here's the last thing that I want us to see, and it's in verse 42, and that is that Dorcas was also a display of God's plan. Verse 42. And it was known throughout all Joppa. What was known? Well, the fact that she had been raised from the dead, and many believed in the Lord. That's the important part. And many believed in the Lord. You see, her resurrection was a wonderful thing, but she would eventually die and she would not raise again. The only person that raised from the dead and continues to live today is the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? So her resurrection, bodily resurrection, was a display of God's power, but that was not the primary thing here. The primary thing was God's plan to use this and use this woman as a testimony in order to bring glory to himself and to bring others to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God has the same plan for you and I. Now, your testimony may not be like Dorcas's. You know, I don't think any of us have that testimony. I was laying there dead, and I was raised from the dead. It may be different than hers, but God wants to use your testimony and mine for his glory and to be a witness to others. Our testimony is never just about us. It's never to point to us. It's always to point others to Christ. Some people have real testimonies that you listen and you think, wow, God has really brought you from some bad places. And what a testimony, a powerful testimony that is. You say, well, mine's not really that grand or fancy. Maybe not. But whatever it is, it's your testimony. And you can use it to give God glory and to bring others to him. I think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. We don't know her name. She's just simply called the Samaritan woman. We don't know if she had children. We do know she had five husbands and she had a live-in lover. We know that about her. But her life was messed up. She was off track and she just really was living a messed up life. But thank God she met Jesus. And I want to tell you something. If your life has been messed up, you're not too far from God. Amen. Jesus can give you a testimony. He can make a message out of your mess. And that's what happens. She had a testimony. Once she meets Jesus and Jesus tells her about the living water, the Bible says in John 4:29 that she went out from where she was. And here was her testimony. She said, come see a man. Now, that's a pretty good testimony. Come see a man, referring to Christ. Is not this the Christ? Come see a man who told me all the things I did. They were bad things. Boy, he knew all these things about me, but he didn't reject me. He didn't push me away. He gave me living water, and I want you to come, and I want you to see him as well. Did you know that's a testimony? Sometimes I think we intimidate ourselves thinking, well, I don't know enough scripture. I just don't know how to talk to people about the Lord. Sometimes it's as simple as saying, hey, come see a man. Or, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what Jesus did for my husband, my wife, my kids. You know, I was astray and I was just not in a good place. And God came to me and I accepted Christ. And boy, I tell you what, and things haven't been perfect, but I have the peace of the Lord. I have the joy of the Lord. I know I'm going to heaven. What better testimony can you have? You see, we all have a testimony. And God's plan for your life and for Tabitha's life and for my life is to use whatever testimony we have to give glory to him and to bring others to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's use our testimony. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening today. Let me remind you, this is Stand for Israel Sunday. If you don't have a home church, we invite you at 10 o'clock today at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. I'll be preaching on what is to become of Israel. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, Pastor Rodney Malott will also be speaking about some current things taking place in the Middle East, and in particular, the nation of Israel. Also, remember our prayer walk coming up Saturday, June 22nd. We hope you can be a part of that. Thanks so much for listening today, whether you've tuned in by the radio or the podcast. We sure do appreciate it. I look forward to being with you at our next appointed time. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.